update.
Okay, I'm going to have Tom provide a handout here because these numbers are very hot off the press. Actually, I was crunching the remaining numbers last night, so I didn't get these in your book. But I had our programmer, he was diligently working on Friday afternoon and Saturday morning, getting these things put together for us, and wanted to provide some numbers on the actual deer draw stats. You know, how did the new system, how did that impact draw success? How did that impact the number of folks that applied? A lot of questions looming or lingering out there that, you know, accusations of folks saying this didn't help them at all, and some folks saying it really helped them. So I wanted to provide some hard numbers here, and it's just a handout front and back. But the first part of it is looking strictly at residents. And you can see I have 2018 and 2019 unique applicants side by side. And in 2018, we had 53,490 resident applicants. This year, we had 52,980. So we were just about 500 short. But all in all, I was very pleased with that number. Staff did an outstanding job, our communication staff. I got to give it to Chris Hall and Nick Harrington for really reaching out to thousands and thousands of folks via targeted emails, social media platforms. We sent every household a postcard, actually. It's the first time we've done that. So our outreach efforts have been substantial in trying to get the word out of those earlier draw dates. This is a substantial change, just the overall time of the drawing. Usually the drawing is it's segregated into West River and Black Hills, and then East River is much later, actually in September. So these draw dates, we were very concerned to make sure people were aware of the new draw dates, and it looks like we reached the vast majority of our users. So that was really great to see, just the overall number of applicants. Some interesting stats below. First choice successful hunters, we had a 2.4% increase in those. Hunters taking the field after the first draw. Now this means they have a license in their pocket after that first draw. In 2018, they had 37,099 hunters with a license in their pocket after that first draw. So it could be a first or second choice license. In 2019, we increased that number about 1,600 to 38,742. It's exactly what we wanted to see. More hunters in the field after that first draw. Hunters with no license after the first draw. We had a 13% decline there. Excellent to see. Total applications, this includes special buck. We projected between right around that 10,000 application number that were going to be removed from that first draw. We were very close to that. I think we were right around 8,000 applications removed from that first draw, thus increasing draw probabilities across the board. And I'll cover that on the back page of this document. Here's some interesting statistics regarding the first proposal the commission's seen. The number of applicants applying for two applications, this number grew, actually. It grew, not a lot, but 2.4%. So we had 18,332 folks in 2018 apply for two or more seasons out of those six firearm seasons we're talking about. In 2019, we had 18,767. The maximum was two applications for up to for those six seasons. So we did see an increase there. Applicants that were successful for their first two first choices, this number did decrease. Actually, there should be a negative in front of that seven there. So we had 4,065 in 2018, and in 2019 we had 3,765. So there is a decrease of about 7% there. I don't know what happened to that negative, but there should be one there. So again, we had, you know, over 3,765 folks actually get two first choice licenses. It's a little less than last year. Resident license availability. This is one of the statistics I threw out there. What is the supply of licenses available? Well, it's very similar to 2018. Actually, about 600 is the difference. So we've seen a very subtle difference in license availability. Therefore, these draw statistics I show you on the next page, they hold some water. I mean, if that number in 2019 was 4,000 or 5,000 licenses more than in 2018, they wouldn't be a comparable data set because the supply is much greater than obviously the demand, but they're very similar in this case. There's a 1.27% difference. Therefore, the next page has some relevancy to compare draw probabilities. Resident licenses available for the second draw. This is an interesting statistic because at the end of the day, we have fewer licenses available going into the second draw. But again, we have more folks having licenses after the first. So therefore, there'd be less licenses going into the second. So I guess that doesn't surprise me too much. But we did have a 3.4% decrease and those second draw licenses that are available to folks. Now, one thing to remember too is if individuals only have one license after the first draw, they can still apply for their second license as long as it's not in a season they already obtained a license for. So if I have an East River deer tag, but I don't have a West River deer tag, and there's West River deer tag still available, I can go apply for a West River deer tag in that second draw. But if I have an East River deer tag, I cannot apply for an East River tag in that second draw. So that's something to consider. There are folks looking at that leftover list, I'm sure, as we speak. That draw is open, and it will be open through, I believe, July 23rd. Don't quote me on that, but it's going to be sometime in the next couple weeks that that deadline will close. Looking at non-residents, this was kind of interesting. We actually, I think, recruited some more non-residents to apply with those postcards. We had 5,400 resident applicant or non-resident applicants in 2018. We've seen 11.24% increase, so just over 6,000. And you can see the numbers there. Very few non-residents applied for two or more applications of those. In this case, there was three opportunities there. Because there's no non-resident opportunities for CSP, there's four, actually. There's no non-resident opportunities for CSP and muzzleloader. But Black Hills, West River, there's three. East River, there's not either. So, again, three opportunities there, and we had about 951 non-residents take advantage or try to apply for at least two of those seasons. Okay, flipping this over now to page two. This is kind of really some interesting statistics because it breaks it down by season. This is probably going to be of the most interest. I thought some of those, I like those fun facts and findings in the front page, but this is really where the rubber meets the road. How much did it increase draw success or draw probabilities across the board? And how many applications did it remove from those six firearm deer seasons? Muzzleloader, we dropped that about 3,000 applications, therefore draw success increased, went from 12% up to 19%. So if you were a muzzleloader hunter, there was less competition in that draw bucket, therefore more people drew those 1,000 licenses. Refuge, this one really had a substantial impact. We had about 1,178 applicants in 2018. In 2019, we were down to 557, almost doubling draw success there. We had 13% success, 13.7 in 2018, and in 2019 we jumped up to 22. Again, Custer, 2,500 folks applied in 2018. In 2019, that dropped in half down to 1,200, doubling draw probabilities or draw success, going from 2.5 to up to 5.7. So those three seasons, I put those on top because those are the seasons that a lot of times were the bonus tag. We always called them the Christmas present season, if you remember from our previous conversations, Muzzleloader, Refuge, and Custer. So what we see here is folks did go for West River, East River, Black Hills because we didn't see as much of an increase in draw success there, but we've definitely seen an increase in Muzzleloader, Refuge, and Custer State Park. Moving down the list, Black Hills, 13,937 applicants in 2018 and 2019. We dropped that number about 500, so we increased draw success only about 1%. Black Hills and West River look to be our most preferred deer seasons across the board. It's fitting, though, because that's what we came up with the 223 mock applications we sent folks during those focus groups. They said West River's their preferred deer season, and it shows right here on this piece of paper. East River, we took a significant amount of applications out. I say significant because we did increase draw success from 58% up to 64% for those East River licenses. West River, we had 21,000 applications in 2018. In 2019, we had 20,803. So West River seen very little increase overall, just 1%. And this is because that West River remains to be folks' preferred deer season. All said and done, you know, if they had to choose between muzzleloader, Black Hills, and West River would be number one in their preference. So total applications, this does not include special buck, 79,632. In 2019, 71,059. Draw probabilities or draw success went from 45% in 2018 just up to 50.7% or 51% in 2019. So all in all, things fell together quite nicely. As far as the projections we had made during this entire process, we've seen some subtle increases in some seasons, but some significant increases in others. And we're very happy with the changes thus far. There is some numbers on the bottom, just a side-by-side comparison of draw success across those In this case, I threw East River Special Buck in there and West River Special Buck, because you'll notice in 2019, draw probabilities or draw success for 2019 actually decreased for Special Buck. And it was because that Special Buck license didn't count against those folks that were applying. So they could apply for Special Buck. If they didn't get it, they could put two more applications in for the general draw or the sixth season draw that was occurring in June. So both East River Special Buck and West River Special Buck draw success dropped, and actually dropped quite a bit, 7% for West River Special Buck and 4% for East River Special Buck. So again, we might want to have some conversations as to making sure all those deer seasons, including Special Buck, are at the same time those draw deadlines. I would definitely suspect then draw success would increase for Special Buck if that were the case. So any questions on that? I ran through that quite fast, but again, I do that with numbers, so I apologize. So any questions on draw success, draw probabilities, kind of what we're hearing from the public?
Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you, Commissioner Phillips here. I guess the number that jumps out at me here that's a little disappointing is the Black Hills draw success. I thought that would change significantly. Evidently, we were just, it didn't work.
Yeah, through the chair? Yes. Yeah, Commissioner Phillips, you know, I noticed that as well. And one thing that I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if folks had to choose between one season instead of two, we would have definitely seen a more substantial increase in draw success for West River and Black Hills. Because a lot of times what we're seeing now is West River and Black Hills are the preferred deer seasons. East River's up there, don't get me wrong. But so in a sense, some folks really didn't have to make a choice. Those 18,800 folks that applied for two seasons and the 18,400 folks that applied for two or more seasons last year, a lot of those folks, 11,000 of them, didn't have to make a choice at all because they only applied for two seasons, not more than two seasons in 2018. So really what it came down to is those 7,000 folks that had to make a choice of dropping one of their third, fourth, or fifth applications out of those draw buckets. And you're right, we didn't see a substantial increase in draw success for West River or Black Hills for that matter. It did go up though. All season draw probabilities did increase at least slightly. Good observation. Other questions on that?
Commissioner Boyd.
Thank you. Commissioner Boyd here. You just made reference to public response to this. What are you hearing?
No, very good question. I have been in contact with quite a few individuals, as you can imagine, and there are some happy folks out there, but there are some folks that thought they would, quite frankly, get both of their preferred choices. You know, that has maybe an expectation in some people's mind that if they were forced to choose just two applications instead of submitting five or six, that it was a guarantee, you know, and it was never a guarantee. We did talk about some of these projections. So there are some disappointed folks out there, no doubt about it. All in all, though, you know, I think for the most part, the numbers don't lie. As far as the number of folks walking away after that first draw, licenses did increase. It increased quite a bit. About 1,600 more hunters have a license after that first draw. So that was the goal. We always said 1,000. If you recall those conversations, 1,000 more hunters would have a license after that first draw. In this case, we hit the mark, so we're happy with that. But yeah, you know, when people are unsuccessful at drawing, it's never easy. So they not necessarily weren't thrilled with the new system or the new process, but it got us closer to more folks drawing a license. It sure did.
Mr. Beast.
Commissioner Beast, do you have any stats on what it's taken, how long people are applying now to get any deer tag in the Black Hills? I've had a few calls now where we're getting people 10, 12, 13 years and still not drawing the tag.
Yeah, you're exactly correct. I mean, there are definitely, that is one of the most difficult tags to draw, is that any deer tag in the Black Hills. It's the 01 type tag. We have about, I want to say there's about 1,200 applicants for essentially 100 licenses, because there's 200 licenses, half go to landowners. In that first draw. So landowner preference takes that half, and then there's 100 left essentially for the general draw. So you have 1,200 names in the hat. Some of those names, like you said, have 10 preference points. Essentially, their name's in the hat 1,000 times. You know, draw probabilities, they should draw, but it's never a guarantee. So we do have some folks waiting 10, 11, 12 years for that any deer tag in the Black Hills. And a lot of it has to do with we're trying to grow that mule deer herd. They're slower to respond than the rest of the state, and I think Andy's in the back of the room, or Andrew, they can attest to that. But as far as what we've been hopefully trying to tell folks is, go apply for that type 11 tag or that whitetail tag. You'll draw that tag every other year, every third year, for sure every third year. And that's another option out there if they really want to hunt the Black Hills. But those folks wanting to hunt mule deer in the Black Hills, it can take 8-10 years. You're exactly right.
Well, by any measure, though, I mean, the analysis that you put together has been confirmed by these actual numbers, right? I mean, if the commission goal was to get more people off the sideline into the field hunting, we've done that by 1,600 hunters. And the draw success was up for everyone. So I think you deserve a thank you and a congratulations, and Commissioner Olson helped put it together. And I mean, it wasn't easy, but I think we got where we thought we were gonna go. True?
Yeah, I think we can say it was successful, absolutely, Commissioner Jensen. And I, you know, looking at draw success across the board, like you said, we increased draw success across every deer season, or at least those six firearm deer seasons that we were referring to throughout this entire process. And you're right, it was not an easy process. At times it was very difficult. There's still others out there that want to see the original proposal. I've heard that. And there's others that want to see, you know, back to the way it was, applying for six deer seasons instead of just two. So I think you met right in the middle, you know, and balanced those issues, those conversations quite well. So yeah, kudos goes to the commission. I appreciate that, not us. So thank you.
Well, and going forward, whether we think about changes or not, I mean, this should give us confidence that the underlying math that you're telling us about works, because the actual numbers document it, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I always say numbers don't lie, but sometimes people think they might. There is a lot of truth to that. I mean, draw statistics and probabilities and projections and all of that around science and modeling, I mean, essentially every model's wrong. I mean, that's drilled into your head in grad school. But at the end of the day, the reoccurring theme usually prevails, and that's when you remove applications out of a bunch of draw buckets that you will increase draw probabilities or draw success across the board. Now, one thing that we're really working at doing is increasing our deer herds across the board as well, and that's only going to increase these draw success numbers. I mean, I have said this probably 100 times. The one thing that'll fix all of this is more deer in most situations, especially mule deer in our highly coveted areas. But we have to, you know, obviously have a balance of those populations. And in some areas, we were at that threshold of a maintain or even a slightly decrease objective, and others were really trying to grow and increase those herds. So we throw all that into the equation, and we also throw into the equation removing some applications from those draw buckets. Things are going to be positive for the hunter to get licenses more often, at least a preferred license more often. That has been the goal and will continue to be the goal.
And we'll put this handout on the website, right? So
people, we surely can, yes. Yep, we can definitely get this on the website and make sure folks can see the numbers. And if there's other data or requests out there, please let me know.
Commissioner Olson.
Maybe now would be a good time to remind folks when they can apply for their preference points, where they were unsuccessful and they didn't do it at the time. Can they still buy those preference points back?
Yes, very good point, Commissioner Olson. We're going to open that preference purchase up August 30th. So if folks did not draw a license for any of these six deer seasons, and they wished, well, if they didn't draw a license and applied, a lot of times you click the box and say, I want to purchase preference. So those folks usually already have their preference purchased. Their actual credit cards, though, won't be, well, yeah, they have been. They have been marked as a $10 purchase as of now. So they will show that their preference will be an increase of one. Actually, that doesn't reset till December. So we get a lot of those questions: is why don't I have a preference point in my preference list already? We wait until the new preference system takes into play, or when we reset the license system, which is actually mid-December, and that's when they'll see that increase in preference. Now back to your original question: let's say we had somebody apply for East River and West River deer, and they drew both, or even just drew one. They can still go purchase preference points for muzzleloader, refuge, CSP, and Black Hills after August 30th. and that's a $5 for residents, $10 for non-residents, and that is going to be a definite possibility, but they're going to have to wait a little bit. And the reason being is we're allowing folks to use preference through the third draw. That's why that's out there, is because you can actually check a box and say, I want to use my preference in the first, second, and third draw throughout the entire draw, first or second choice. So that's a big change, and we wanted to make sure all that was done before we would allow folks to start buying more preference to use it the next year. And that's why there's a wait period. This is something brand new, is the idea or the opportunity to use preference through the third draw. And that is why the August 30th date stands. So great point, great question.
Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you, Commissioner Phillips here. If memory serves me, with this plan, wasn't our projection to put 1,000 more hunters in the field? Wasn't that kind of the goal? And instead we put 1,600 more in the field.
Yeah, we did. And one of the things I'm gonna give some of the license numbers here some of the credit, not completely the system, because the license availability did increase by about 500. So that's probably the main difference. We've seen in 2018, 51,530 resident licenses. In 2019, 52,180. So we did see a little change in the license availability. So I'm going to have to make sure I stick to my guns and give the license availability more credit than the actual system. But in that case, you're right. We did say 1,000. We hit the 1,000. And with those additional licenses, we actually were over that 1,000, about 1,600.
I was going to give you credit for that, Kevin.
I don't know. That's quite all right.
Secretary Hepler.
Thank you. I just want to echo the chairman. I mean, Kevin, you've been the face of this from the get-go, and so you get the good side and the downside. And I know there are some shots at you, and you know, and people didn't get drawn. In fact, I even came and told you I didn't get my license, and I think Commissioner Sharp didn't get his licenses either. But that's just what happens when you draw. But, you know, if you go back and look at the numbers and what we said before and come back now and compare them, they're amazingly on. And so you did a great job doing that. And, you know, and this is a compromise system that we came up with, and I think it's for the right reasons. And so it played like it should. And so we just want people to have patience and go through it. And, you know, and kudos to our whole license crew and Chris and communication crew, because we were scared to death that this new drawing date that people are not going to apply, then we're going to come back and say you didn't communicate with us enough, which is typically what you would hear. That obviously wasn't the case, and we spent a lot of time and effort and money chasing to make sure that didn't happen, make sure our public knew when to draw. So we really appreciate that. And again, commissioners, I know you spent a lot of time working through this yourself, and even with the new commissioners, I know you've had time on this, so we thank you for your patience in this. And so, Kevin, outstanding work. Appreciate it.
Job very well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? If not, we're on to